we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with news of an unbeatable offer read by Brian Perkins.
Starting this Friday in the Daily Telegraph, you and your body in three collectible parts.
Well, thank you, David Jones of Bournemouth, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Graham Garden. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus.
I hate boxing, says middleweight contender Frank Grant. If I'd realised what it's all about, I'd never have started. And if I'd had a son and he came to me and said he wants to be a professional fighter, I'd batter him.
Well, thank you, Lou Cody of Bradford, for that. Richard, who said, I'm sorry you read that again?
Is it your friend, Barry, the famous playwright?
No.
Who disgraced himself?
He comes later.
Oh, does he?
It's the first round. It must be Norman Lamont.
Exactly.
Is it Lamont?
Yes, it is Lamont. Yes.
Oh, well. There it is. There's the answer. Norman Lamont. He was changing his mind yet again and deciding that entry into the RM probably had been a great mistake.
And that whoever was responsible shouldn't resign.
That's right. And he has the full support of himself and Mr. Major.
Well, he does today. What did he read again?
His apology.
Yes. It was about apologising to the Germans, and then coming on and apologising for apologising to the Germans. Yes. And then he had to apologise to the Germans for saying that the apology he'd made for apologising to the Germans wasn't actually a real apology.
Absolutely right.
They got the V2 out again.
Well worth a bonus. It was Chancellor Lamont who was looking a bit sick after overdosing on German boot polish. Apparently the Bundesbank were upset by some sections of the British press printing a load of misleading rubbish. They've only just received April's election specials. Ian, who led from the front on the front?
This is Baron von Richthofen.
No, it isn't.
Did you notice that's the German ambassador's name? Baron von Richthofen.
Are they trying to tell us something, do you think?
Yes. Mad dogfights in the sky, shooting down the pound. Smith, this says. That's not a very interesting name. Baron von Smith, is it?
Well, this new man they've got in, I think his name is called Smith.
Is it?
The new man, yes.
Oh, he's made a big impression on me.
Yes. And he made a speech on the front, and no one could remember anything he said. But it was hailed as a great triumph.
Let me put you all out of your misery. It's John Smith and the Labour Party who prove they've got what it takes to be in government by splitting right down the middle over Europe and getting their prospective Minister of Heritage to resign. In contrast to their previous leader, Mr. Smith kept his speech down to just 50 minutes but nodded to tradition by cleverly making it sound much longer. Mr. Smith's main problem in Blackpool was finding a hotel that he and his wife could check into. Without the staff going, oh, hello. Graham, welcome to the programme. Your first question. What lady has gone down to number 10 for rich pickings?
This is Her Majesty the Queen.
It is.
Before tax. There was a magazine which published, I think, the 200 richest women in the world. Which consisted of a list of the 200 richest men in the world with Mrs. written in front. Apart from a few who were businesswomen and entertainers who seemed to have got there under their own steam.
Which is the Queen?
And the Queen was down as heiress.
Good.
And housewife. And she has slipped from richest woman in the world to number 10.
Yes. With Lady Thatcher making £1 million a month from guest speaking, available for weddings, birthdays and bar mitzvahs, at 10 quid a yawn, Her Majesty is in danger of dropping further. Even Samantha Fox can muster £6 million, or £3 million each from her two massively successful careers in modelling and singing. Alan, will you have a listen to this?
Thank you.
of course, was the entertainer. And the question is, who looked blank in anger?
Oh, I thought it was called The Sting, because that was the film. I thought it was going to be the one about bees.
No.
You got the one about bees?
No.
Oh, you want the one about the entertainer? It was a play he wrote. I was there. Barry was there, but only briefly, because Barry walked out in dudgeon.
Well, dinner. Not dudgeon exactly, but I walked out.
It was either that or the dinner jacket had to be back by midnight. This was the Writers' Guild dinner. very few writers, lots and lots of television people, independent producers. It was very hard to spot a writer until one got up, more or less, and shambled across the floor and got hold of the lectern, which is fortunately quite sturdy, and would have announced himself as John Osborne if he could have remembered, and he was getting the award for Lifetime Achievement. We could see what the lifetime achievement was by the time he'd finished getting the award. I was very pleased with it. I mean, a lot of people got very snotty about it, and then a lot of other people started saying he's the greatest man in the world and all that, and fists almost flew, had the writers not remembered they needed them for signing checks in the morning. And I just thought it was the way a great writer ought to behave, get very drunk, kick up a fuss. That's and right. then go home. He came on the Melvin Bragg programme the next morning, as if he'd not done enough harm, and said it was all about his teeth, which kept falling out. We were talking earlier here, we reckon he just hadn't managed to get them in straight because he was pissed.
One of the few things you can say that isn't libelous, isn't it? Osborne was pissed. Hardly going to pick up a writ for that, are you?
I wouldn't put money on it, Maisie. Anyway, the scores at the end of round one are quite interesting because Richard and Ian got 3, but Alan and Graham are well in the lead with 5. Well done. Bonuses. Well, we start round 2 with an item from the Surrey Advertiser.
Tongham cricket captain John Andrews almost sliced off his right index finger last week while trying to unclog grass from a lawnmower. I leaned down and put my finger in the wrong place, said Mr. Andrews, who's now desperately trying to find people to help finish mowing the cricket square. If Tongham wants its cricket ground ready by next year, he said, people will have to start pulling their fingers out.
Thank you, John Gill of Bradford, for sending us that one. Richard, your question again. Where did 11 angry men not join the happy one?
I think it's a courtroom saga that took place.
It is.
Where a juryman was in an Osborne-like condition and demanded to know the judge in the middle of this case, what time do we get our dinner, mate? And the judge didn't like this interruption at all and chucked him out.
Usually that's the question the judge asks in our cases.
It seemed perfectly reasonable query.
I think the judge was angry at being woken up, wasn't he?
We have the judge's name if you want the judges sorted out over here. We have Schindler. Does that strike a familiar note?
It does.
We'll have a bonus point for that.
It could be penalised for being too keen.
Not in this programme, you can't. Things only got worse when the judge tried to calm the outcry with calls of order, order, and was greeted with calls of 2 pints of lager and a package of sweets. Other members of the jury also complained about his bad behaviour, but the juror protested he was as sober as a playwright. Sorry, judge. Ian, what's bigger, brighter and bad for your stomach?
Bigger, brighter and bad for your stomach? Radioactive peas.
Okay. Radioactive peas. Mm.
I'm afraid I have no idea, though Richard does.
And it's something that happens at breakfast time.
We can do this.
They can do this on the other side. I would have thought it was the simplest.
Can I have
of
a bonus for getting my name right?
If it's Schindler, yes.
Well, we're going to look daft if it isn't Bob Geldof and Paula Yates.
It is.
They do something called the Big Breakfast.
That's right.
And she got charged for not having a television licence.
Quite right.
Smart woman. She doesn't have to sit there and watch the thing, but...
Why
but
is that bad for
it.
Your stomach?
Think about it. Geldof. First thing in the morning. sticking bristles in just while you're shaving. He's sitting there putting them in.
Graham, here's a piece of music for you.
Long have we been perplexed and vexed by a life that I loathed. Now may we sing, hey ding-a-ding-a-ding, and leave to lament any longer. Glad to the heart, to the heart.
Well, that was Long Have We Been Perplexed. And the question is, whose tangled roots have been yanked out?
Tangled roots?
It's the origins of certain American politicians. I can't go as far as telling you it's Bush and
I have
Clinton.
A spirit message coming through.
Well, I've given them the answer. They ain't working on it now. And they're going to recycle it.
Is it the story that Bush and Clinton have more in common than the American electorate previously thought?
Yes, it is.
They are... both related to the 10th richest woman in the world.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's a British company which claims the families of Bill Clinton and George Bush both originated from the Nottinghamshire village of Gotham. Thank you. Somebody knows the story. Back in the 13th century, Gotham enjoyed the reputation of being the home of tax dodgers and madmen. So far, so good. Bush's earliest ancestor was a man called George Reedus Mine Lips Shrub, who failed to be re-elected as Gotham's leader because villagers took exception to the antics of his pet monkey, Little Dan. The first Clinton appeared in the shape of Dandy Smarmbottom, who became England's first draft dodger when he avoided King John's call-up to fight in Nam. That's Cheltenham. By bravely renaming himself Marion and moving to the Sherwood area. Alan, your question. Who was back off the rails after winning a victory and a half?
I've got a feeling it's that British rail clerk who had half a shandy, is it? I was trying to remember his name. They gave a farewell party for him, British Rail, and things being a bit tight, took one look at this bloke and realised they owed him 20 grand, unless they thought quickly. Being British Rail, they put their heads together and gave him half a shandy. He then became severely Osborne'd, and they said, right, you are drunk in charge of a retirement party, and you cannot have the money. But he's appealed, and now has got his £20,000.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You get your marks for that. Alex Bryson, a BR worker for 46 years. Something you don't see every day, the words worker and BR together. Hope the experience, which left him a mumbling, incoherent wreck, will be of some help in his new career as a playwright. At the scores at the end of that one. Have taken yet another dramatic turn, because Richard and Ian are now 5, but Alan and Graham are 10. We start round 3 with a tale from the Yorkshire Post.
A guard dog allowed raiders to take tools valued at more than £1,300 from a haulage compound, but bit a policeman who came to investigate the robbery. To the dismay of haulage firm owner Sid Draper, the police failed to catch the burglars, but prosecuted him for keeping a dangerous dog.
Richard, who is praying for commercial inspiration?
Who is praying for commercial inspiration? Well, I think a number of pretty well everyone in the country, and every single member of the government, probably. With those of them that are believers, I should think not very many of them are. Apart from that, members of our team probably praying for praying for the whole thing to be over. I think I don't. I don't think we're really praying for inspiration of any kind.
This has got to be the Church of England wanting to be sponsored by McDonald's.
It is. So you have NatWest Matins and McDonald's Evensong.
I just made that up. It's the silliest thing
it's
I could
true.
Think of.
It's
absolutely
true.
Right, yes.
What did you say about the bishop who used the F word, too?
What, faith?
Yes.
Yeah. Give them a bonus just for the heck of it. Okay. It's all about the student priest who is looking for commercial sponsorship to help him find a job as a clergyman. Michael Windridge is now selling Lord's Prayer airtime. He's secured Our Father, Who Art in Habitat. and is currently negotiating with a major high street baker to give us this day our crusty farmhouse style bread.
That's amazing. I know Michael Windridge. He's a brother of a friend of mine.
Oh, is he? How interesting.
That's terribly boring for everyone else, but hello, Michael. God, you're desperate.
What sort of chap is he? Would you like to say a bit more about him?
The sort of chap one would want to have in one's home.
You'd like him. He's the first male woman priest.
Ian, have a listen to this.
You put your right leg in, your right leg out. In, out. Now, shake it all about. Do the okie cokie. Turn around. That's what it's all about.
David Mellor, Guide to Making Love.
The question is, whose dirty video is a whole different ball game?
Dirty video and ball game.
Let us assume the ball game is soccer.
Right, someone's made a... Oh, I know this story. It's a footballer who's...
You have to admire his audacity.
No, I've just remembered. His name's Vinnie Jones, isn't it?
Is he another of your friends?
No, I've never met him. But there is a man called Vinnie Jones. And he apparently fouls people a lot. I think that's fairly safe. That's like saying Osborne's pissed, isn't it? Vinnie Jones does sort of kick people a lot. And he's compiled a video of my greatest putting the boot in moments, which someone's tried to ban. It was in the Telegraph, wasn't it?
Isn't the point of the video of how to commit a foul without the ref seeing it, which is ridiculous. I think Vinnie Jones has never done an undetected foul in his life. If Gary Lineker had made the video, I'd be more impressed, wouldn't you?
Gary Lineker, my dirty game. Last 30 seconds. Graham, what affected the pounding in your pocket?
Wasn't the new tiny coin, was it?
What's the new tiny coin?
The 10p, which is being shrunk in sympathy with the pound.
Other than a complete reduction in size and value, little has changed from the pre-decimal 1971 version, except that the Queen is no longer depicted wearing flared loon pants and a floppy tiara. One advantage the Royal Mint gave for the new coin is trouser friendliness. There's a phrase I thought I would never read.
That's something in the Mellor revelation, isn't it?
Trouser friendliness. Smaller coins will be less likely to make holes in the pockets, but in line with ERM rules, once you do have a hole, they will fall out much faster. Alan, which award-winning faulty tower has helped customers out of a jam?
Real Tower.
Real Tower. This is an architectural story.
We know this.
Can we have a bonus of 20 for Corin not knowing it?
I mean, there's a big building that's gone wrong. Is it Canary Wharf or something like that?
No, it's not quite as big as that.
No, let
a miracle take place. let miracles happen.
It's about a car park, my lad.
About a car park.
It's about a car park?
Yes.
Which has won an award?
Yes.
As the best building in Britain. The Royal Institute of... British Architects, or one of those august bodies, has awarded a car park the best building. And there's pics of it in the papers.
Mm. It was actually the National Theatre, but they made a mistake. A picture of it. Do we get a bonus for the architect's name? We don't know, but...
Schindler.
That seems to be a very popular name at the moment. Anyway, it's the Royal Institute of British Architects, which has given a top award to a municipal car park in Chichester. The Avenue de Chartres car park, so named because it's twinned with a particularly majestic service station in France, is based on the design of a medieval castle. It smells horrible, it's lit by torchlight, and it's impossible to get out of. And the scores at the end of the third round are remarkable in this day of remarkable events. Because Richard and Ian are 11, and Alan and Graham are merely one in the lead now with 12. Richard, here's a piece of music for you.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring is sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak.
Well, sounds like the sort of thing they play on that Radio 2 programme with that old bore doing it. What was that show called? The Ingrams Hour.
I say, do we get a bonus for knowing his name? I'm not sure I can remember what it is. But anyway, get on with it.
The question is quite obscure, to me at least. It says, whose wireless labour will show he's young at heart?
If it's obscure to you, Barry, can you imagine what effect it has on me?
But I mean, a big Radio 2 man like yourself would get this one.
It's to do with the radio device.
And yes. Wireless is cable and wireless.
No.
Which
the
is
wireless,
the firm.
No, it's nothing to do with, it's all to do with somebody replacing Jimmy Young on the wireless.
They're not going to replace Jimmy Young, are they?
He's going on holiday.
Oh.
He will be replaced by certain
people. Oh, that old Boar Ingrams is taking over.
I haven't had the letter
and
yet.
Graham Garden will tell us who and why.
Yes, he's being replaced by Neil Kinnock.
Absolutely.
For a couple of weeks.
Yes.
What?
It's true.
Right. What's it where?
I swear it's true, on the Labour Party's grave.
And Mellor's doing B Sky B this weekend, isn't he? Getting 100... No, really, he's getting 100 quid for sports reporting. Heartbreaking, isn't it?
Anything going for Michael Foote, do you think?
I think Frank Boff got there first, I reckon.
Ian, who's taken the biscuit with his rich teas?
Is this Prince Edward?
It is not Prince Edward.
Bringing in the tea.
It's not Prince Edward.
It's the Prince of Wales.
That's right.
Is he making biscuits now?
Yes, I guess. Sort of organically made biscuits that contain no kind of sort of unpleasant sort of chemicals and things.
Yes, what do they taste like, Richard?
They're called... carbuncles.
Sort of like hobnobs.
Yeah.
They're
made
even more appalling.
Sort of organically grown geranium leaves. And they're really frightfully good. Once you sort of get used to the taste.
Well, the answer is Prince Charles's crackers.
Compared to the rest of the family, he's desperately sane, really.
The answer is Prince Charles crackers and other kinds of biscuits he's planning to produce with his high-class oats. The infamous cereal farmer is marketing his Dutchy original to make up the family assortment now that the ginger nut's gone. In honour of his wife, the first will be digestives. When you dunk them, they go squidgy. Graham, who pulled the plug on the party but had to fit one first?
I explained to listeners that my contribution to this programme was pre-recorded on Monday. So I'm having trouble with some of the stories that happened later this week. Not the Labour Party.
No, it's an electrical shop. It's about a high street retailers of repute and renown who had a party and things happened.
Yes. Oh, it's Mr. Patel's.
Pardon?
In Croydon.
No.
He's a very good electrical retailer.
Is he? Yes. Is he a friend of your brother's?
He's a friend of... friend of my brother's priest.
Was it Curry's?
No, it wasn't Curry's. Very good. Very good. Let me tell you, it was high street electrical retailers Dixon's who sacked two of their managers for dancing at a Christmas party. Christ, this is a new story. Wearing only a pair of cut-price balloons. After one of them was burst by a woman staff member using a fork. Now, there's trust in your employees for you. Dixon's say they had no choice but to sack the two men. an odd change of policy. Normally, if something goes wrong, the first thing they recommend is a quick bang on the side. However, Alan, your last chance. Who does want to join a club that doesn't want him as a member?
You're getting these stories from Shanghai Cage Birds Monthly. These two chefs at White's Club. And one of them was required to do a thing with scrambled eggs and anchovies called Scotch Woodcock. I don't know why it's called that, but you know men's clubs and their silly jokes. It could be all sorts of... You have to know a great deal about Scotsman and wood. And this club, because it wanted to catch up with modern things, took on a nouvel cuisinier who wanted to do those sort of things they do with three Areco beans, a bit of grass around them, slice a kiwi and half a quail's egg and charge you 80 quid. And there was a punch-up in the kitchen. And this man said, they like spotted dick. And they like plum pudding and things like that. And he was sacked after 22 years.
Yes.
Very sad.
The disgruntled cook also felt unfairly criticised for failing to use fresh vegetables, despite opening a new can every day. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team's brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting?
A little cutting about... It's an example of helpful behaviour by the police. It says, police are giving women horse riders in Epping Forest miniature cameras so that they can photograph men who expose themselves.
Ian.
I'm afraid this isn't a misprint. This is just a headline from the Sunday Times, 2nd of August, 1992. Major aims to make sterling the best in Europe. Pound to topple Deutschmark as benchmark currency. Made me laugh anyway.
Graham, what have you brought for us?
A politically correct item from The Guardian the other week. It's a letter. I was angered that Mimuna Fauna found it necessary to mention that an assailant was black. The mention of colour in connection with crime is something I have come to expect from tabloids, not quality newspapers. Anna Wise, London. The Guardian replies, black cab driver referred to the fact that the colour of the cab was black.
Alan, what have you got for us?
By great coincidence, mine is from this Wednesday's Guardian, which I don't see why it shouldn't take more stick. During the prosecution for reckless driving at Leicester Crown Court, the defendant was cross-examined about her speed. So you then turned into Charles Street. How fast were you going? Not more than 20 miles an hour. And what gear were you in? Jeans and a T-shirt.
Well, thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. And it's turned out to be a close-run thing, because Richard and Ian have scored 13, but Alan and Graham are this week's winners with 15. Not much, in it. And what a gripping contest it's been. Now, before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Belper News, sent in by Alistair Clark of Matlock.
Belper has won the Amber Valley Best Kept Town competition for the third year running, although, for the third year, it's been the only town to enter.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Ian Hislop and Graham Garden. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.